Hold on, I got the other one to turn on yet, too. Okay, go ahead, Larry.
Okay, this, of course, is the Great Faith chapter, which exalts all the people of God from the very beginning. In verse 20, I just happened to see this. I never noticed it before. It's how great the word of God is. It says, by faith, Esau, well, maybe that's it. By faith, Esau blessed Jacob and by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And it just, you know, Esau, it says that, you know, that he had no regard for the things of God. And I was wondering why it doesn't just say Jacob, but Esau is also named there.
Well, because he did give him a prophecy. Esau came and he said, oh, don't you have any prophecy left for me? And Jacob said, okay, here's what's left for you. Let me read it. It's in Genesis 27 20 to 40.
Yes.
What chapter again, Larry?
27.
Oh, I got Exodus. I'm sorry. And what's the verses again? 26 through, okay, so 26 is where it starts, where he blesses Isaac.
Yeah.
And he gets the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, the plenty of corn and wine. People will serve you, nations bow down. And you will be Lord over your brethren, and let your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed is everyone that curses you, blessed everyone that blesses you. So he gave that blessing to Jacob. And then Esau shows up, and he asks for his blessing. And the father says in verse 32, who are you? And he said, somebody has to mute. I don't know who it is. Somebody has to mute. Okay, there you go. And he said, I'm Isaac, or I'm Esau. And verse 34, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me also, my father. And finally, Isaac answered and said to Esau, okay, 37, behold, I have made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given unto him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do unto thee, my son? And Esau said, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above, and by thy sword shalt thou live, and shall serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. So that was a blessing, a promise, whatever you call it, a prophecy for Esau. But he said the day would come when you can break the yoke of bondage off your neck from your brother.
And Isaac moved in faith to do that.
Yes, of course. Yes, he had to have faith.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
You don't hear much about Isaac, do you? Kind of quiet.
You know, again, it's not how you begin in faith, but it's how you end. And Isaac started off great in faith, a perfect type of Christ. And yet, as his life unfolded, he did a lot of things that were not godly. And I always look at that as a warning to us. It's not how we start in the Lord, but it's how we finish that's important.
So you're still talking about Isaac, right, Larry?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, you look at the end of his life and you wonder, you know, how far he's gone. He turned from God, you know, not having any discernment about the things of God, which he should have had, you know, from his strong beginning. But that's the way it is with many people, you know, in many of God's people in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that we have to continually, and this speaks to us, we have to continually be mindful of our walk. You know, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, it says be worthy of your calling, that we not fall aside or not walk in the things we are given. So each of us has a calling, and each of us have to be mindful of that and not go astray. And it's amazing to me, and yet a blessing, that God does not hide the shortcomings of the great men of God in the Old Testament. And that's, again, a warning that if they could fall away, you know, they could not walk in the faith which they had originally, not grow in the faith, that could happen to any of us. You know, we are no better than the great men of God in the Old Testament or the New Testament.
You think it's probable that an epistle about us is being written, Larry?
That anything sinful about us is written?
That an epistle about us is being written.
That something is written? I'm sorry.
Simple?
He's saying epistle, E-P-I, you know?
Epistle.
Still not. What is that word again?
E-P-I-S-T-L-E.
Oh, an epistles?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. In scripture, it says that the books were open. And I believe, you know, that each of us have our own book of life. And, you know, in that, I think that God chronicles our life in the earth. And I believe that all the things that were a blessing to him, that we moved in faith, we will be able to read on, you know, a daily basis. And all the things that where we fell short and didn't mind the things of God and moved not in faith but in fear or in sin, you won't be able to read them, because I think there'll be a red blot along all those things where God will blot them out.
And didn't Paul say that we are epistles read by all men?
Yeah. So thank God in his mercy that he will blot out all of our sinful ways, that men will not be able to read of those. I just pray and hope that each of us have a lot more pages that you can read than those that are blotted out.
So what's happening right now is that people are reading you. When you talk to people, they are reading your epistle. When you interact with your family, they are reading your epistle. Your wife is reading you. You're reading hers.
And when we interact with our brothers and sisters, right now.
Yes.
And throughout life, you know, that's also very important.
Amen. Well, that wasn't the direction I wanted to go, but maybe we can turn to the book of Zechariah. We're talking about what is happening in these last days in God's dealing in the nations, in the world. And I see a thing that I'm going to read here. And I think I'm going to start in the 13th chapter. And I will start in verse 8. Now, these Old Testament prophets, I've been developing a new respect for them. Inasmuch as I realize that they're not just talking about things that would happen in their time, in their generation, among the Jewish nation or Israel, whatever you want to call it. Their prophecies was not limited to that place. Yes, some of the things that they were talking about did happen in their time, in their generation. But you know, the Word of God comes on more than one level. It comes on the natural level, it comes on a spiritual level, and it comes in its fullness. So let's take this up to another level here, and let's bring it into our generation, okay? It says, and it shall come to pass. So when he says it shall come to pass, I think he's reaching out, way out into the future. It says that the land, that in all the land, we're talking about all the earth that we know today. In all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off. Two parts. Now that two parts means two-thirds, okay, two-thirds. That means what we would use a number, we would say somewhere around 66%, okay? 66% of the people of the land shall be cut off and die, but a third part shall be left therein. All right. In other words, two-thirds gone, one-third left. What is this called? This is called depopulation. Now, we know that this is kind of the goal of these New World Order people. I've heard them talk about it. I've heard a man way back in the 1970s. He was the Secretary of Defense. And after that president was no longer, his name was McNamara, something like that. And after that, after he left his office in government, he went to work for something that was called the World Bank. And as the head of the World Bank, he then made this statement that the world needed to be depopulated. The population needs to be brought down. So they have their goal of what they think they're going to do it and how they're going to do it and whatever is going to be left. Let's say the third that's going to be left. Now let's listen to this from God's point of view. All right. He says, but the third shall be left therein. So that means there's only three parts, two parts cut off, the third part left. He says, and I will bring the third part through the fire. So if you think, well, I really got off easy on that one, I wasn't part of the two-thirds, but do you think it's going to be fun and games to be the third part to be brought through the fire? Brethren, if we're the third part that is saved, we're going to go through fire. And fire is not a pleasant experience. How many of you ever been through the fire before? Amen? Come on, you've been through fire. But this may be a kind of fire that you've never been through before. All right? I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. So it isn't, the purpose of God isn't just to make life miserable and to make us hot and to make us uncomfortable and to give us pain and suffering. The whole purpose is to refine us so that there be nothing of the impurities left in us. In other words, if only silver and gold. Silver is redemption. Gold is the nature of God. What he wants is a people who are only after his nature, only like him. Amen. He doesn't want people to have other things in them. So we can use the term that there will be a shaking. Yet once more, there will be a shaking, that only the things that will remain cannot be shaken. What will remain when you put the metal in the fire? The only thing that's left is the gold. The other stuff is all burned off. The dross is gone. It comes to the surface. It's skimmed off. And he's likening this to the smelter and refiner of metal. So he says, it will be refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. So these are what's left here, this third part. What is left is a people that have power in prayer. These are people who will call upon the Lord and they get their answer. You know, we don't always seem to get our answer right away the way we would like today. But the word is saying that when we are refined, when we are as Christ, then we will call upon the Lord, and what we say will be the word of God, and it'll come to pass, and it will happen. Amen? And, you know, I would say from what I see here is that this is rather prophetic. It sounds like he's going to have a lot of people with the gift of prophecy and the gift of prayer, calling upon the Lord. They will call upon my name. I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Amen. Now, let me just read a couple more verses in the next chapter, because I think it flows over. I don't think Zechariah put a number 14 here when he wrote this. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Okay, that's what we're looking forward to these days. And thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. So here's another thing that we're talking about. God's dealing with the nations. There is going to be war. There's going to be war, brethren. Are we ready for a third world war? Are we on the brink of it? Lots of things happening. Let me just point out a few things that are happening. Gather all nations against Jerusalem. By the way, that's not natural Jerusalem. That's not just the city over in the Mideast, on the eastern end of the Mediterranean. That's not just Jerusalem. Is the people of God. People are going to rise up against God's people. The nations are going to rise up. Amen? Because the nations are angry at the dealing of God. So, what was I saying here? The battle against the people of God. Let me just read this verse here then. It says, and I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Oh, Yeah, I know where I was going. The possibility of this happening now. You have several things going on, and this is what I wanted to mention. First of all, you have a new COVID plague. Someone has said that they believe as many as 60-some% of the population of China already has and turned positive to this new plague. Also, the government of China is freely giving passports to the people so that they can leave China and go visit other places. It sounds like they have the intention of spreading this thing throughout the whole world. You know that virus was created in China. Yes, it was. It's not a natural made virus. It's a man-made virus. When they used the term, and Fauci used the term several times too. What was the term he used? Gain of function. They're playing with these viruses in their laboratories. And what they're trying to do, called gain of function, is they're trying to change the manner of these viruses. Some of them are viruses that come from animals, and they're trying to change them so that, can these viruses affect humans? That's really what they're doing. But now their excuse for doing that is to say, well, in case nature does this thing against human beings, then we will know how to make a vaccine against it. But it's really, it's wickedness, brethren. We have no business. Human beings have no business fooling with these viruses. Just because they're intelligent, just because they know how to do it, just because they know all about these chemistries and what have you, they don't need to be messing with this. I think they're violating some things of God. All right, so there's one thing. Now, what was it, a month ago already, maybe more than a month ago, the government here in America made a proclamation that anybody coming from China is going to have to test negative before they will be allowed to immigrate or to visit or whatever the United States. Now, I have nothing against Chinese people. I believe there's a lot of God-fearing people there. But we know that there is a beast that runs that system, a very wicked, wicked system. This is the system of Mao Zedong, and he was a very cruel, murderous, wicked man, as wicked as Stalin. By the way, I heard a rumor, I don't know if it's true. I heard, you know, we know that Stalin, they have his body in a glass case in Moscow, that in somewhere in the Tiananmen Square, they have a special place where Mao's body is also preserved in a glass case. So these wicked men are there as an idol, as a god, and they have brought much death and wickedness upon the world. Okay, so we have one thing happening. What does that, Brother Mark, what does that have to do with war? Well, several things. This could trigger the governments of the world to again try to go into another lockdown. This could. I don't know that it will. I don't know how much. I know they've tried this and they got away with it quite a bit the last time. How much will people put up with again? There has been some changes in the government here in the United States. The House of Representatives has now been taken over, not by a great majority, but a small majority, by the Republicans, who tend to be more conservative. But they had to vote, how many was it, 15 times before they could elect a chairman, a speaker of the House, the one that is now taking Nancy Pelosi's place. in order to be elected, there were 20, I'll say 20, it could have been 19, but I'll say 20. There were 20 real conservative men and women, perhaps, that would not allow him to have that position until he agreed with some of the things that they want to bring in. Now, one of the things they want to bring in is they want to, they do not want the United States to keep going further and further and further into debt. Well, let's say the United States Corporation, whatever, as a financial entity. And they say they're going to stop it. Well, if they stop it, what's going to happen when these budgets are presented is that if the United States cannot continue to increase their going further and further into debt, what's going to happen is that the United States, the government will shut down and that they will default. Now, we've been on the brink of defaulting for years and years and years. We keep going into debt, billions, trillions, deeper, deeper. Somewhere along the line, it has to come to an end. Do you agree? I mean, I cannot keep running my finances the way the government is running theirs. Sooner or later, you're borrowing far more money than you're ever going to be paying back. So if they force this thing, do you realize what will happen? It could happen this year. It could happen this year. These fellows have demonstrated that they're pretty stubborn about what they want. Am I right, Larry? They're pretty stubborn. They're not going to give in easily. I mean, if they made, it's been far over 100 years since a man had to go to that many votes in order to be elected Speaker of the House. So they're going to hold their ground. The government could go bankrupt, shall we say, unable to pay the debt. And now do you know what that will do to the rest of the world? It will throw the whole world economy into chaos. We have not lived, we do not know anything of the such of living in a world that has been in economic chaos like that. Not in our generation. There was a touch of it in my father's generation, okay, in 1929. And by the way, he bought the farm in 1928 and then had to go through the Great Depression. We're on the brink of that. It is only the hand of God that is holding that back. Second thing, okay, economic chaos. Now, we see another thing happening here in Ukraine. NATO is beginning to push harder. NATO is bringing more and more of their weapons into Ukraine. The U.S. is bringing more and more of their sophisticated weapons into Ukraine. They're bringing in weapons that are able now to shoot down the missiles that are being shot in. Not only that, they're shooting their missiles back over into Russia. Not into Moscow yet, but into some of the little villages, and they're beginning to show Putin, hey, look, you wanna throw things at us? We can throw them back at you. What happens then if the NATO forces, by the way, the border is lining up. Things are lining up along the border. Belarus, the borders to Ukraine from the north, lining up. Like they're waiting for another action. They're waiting for another war. They're waiting for another conflict to stir up. Say, well, Brother Mark, they already have a conflict. Yeah, they're waiting for something bigger. And I'm not going to say it's going to happen. I'm just going to say things are in place that it could happen. So, brethren, I don't know that I want to put a date. I'm not going to circle my calendar or anything like that. But I'm going to say that the word keeps coming to me. Suddenly, and without warning. Suddenly and without warning. Where is that word? There's a word, something like that in Proverbs, I believe it is. Anyway, the Lord said, you know not the day or the hour. But I think, brethren, that we need to, I was thinking to myself this week as I'm going about my business, and it's like I'm talking to myself. I'm saying to myself, Brother Mark, what are you preparing for? Where are you headed? And if I have to answer the question, I have to say, in the natural, I'm preparing for death. I'm preparing for my end. Well, how am I preparing for that? No, I don't desire to die or anything like that. But everything in my life, every goal, every aspiration is the completion, the fullness. When I pass this life, I want it to be in the fullness of Christ. Now, whether he removes me from the earth or whether he leaves me here, and I keep remembering the word that he spoke to me 20 years ago when he said, for you are dead. So it has to be something that we prepare ourselves for, brethren. Now, this is not just the ramblings of an old man. I think if you're young, you need to be saying the same thing to yourself. What direction are you going? Are you going for the direction of more of this world, more of the pleasures, more of the comforts of this world, having things that you always dreamed of? I don't think that's a goal that we need to be reaching for anymore. Now, let me read the rest of this here, and we'll move on. It says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against the Christians, the church, the true church, to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. There's the word nations again. The unredeemed. As when he fought in the day of battle. All right, I'm going to quit there. Now, we're talking about this depopulation thing. I've got a couple of other verses that I'd like to read, places that I'd like to look, things that we never considered before. You know, I'm getting into some things in the Old Testament, and I am aware now, brethren, the Old Testament is speaking of the same things that Revelation is speaking of. Let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 5. What was God telling Ezekiel? Have you ever read this? This is a strange thing, but it has a meaning, and I believe it fits into what we're saying here. And thou said a man, take thee a sharp knife. What he's to do is take a razor, a sharp knife, a razor. They had razors in those days. Take thee a sharp knife, take thee a barber's razor, here we are, and cause it to pass upon thine head and upon thy beard. So in other words, take all the hair off of your head and your face. Take thee a balance and weigh and divide the hair. My goodness, I don't think I have enough that I would even move the balance at all. But Ezekiel must have been letting it grow for quite a while. So he had enough that it would move the balance. It would move the scale a little bit. Okay? And thou shalt burn with fire a third part. So now listen, he's dividing it in thirds again. Thou shalt burn with fire. Now that is a destroying fire, consuming fire, destroying. Okay? Burn with fire the third part in the midst of the city. In other words, go right out in the middle of the city when everybody is around. divide up your hair, take a third of it, and set it on fire. Okay? When the days of the siege are fulfilled, and thou shalt take a third part and smite about it with a knife. In other words, take a sword and slash away at it. Cut it all up. Well, that's a prophetic thing too. So now we have two thirds, okay? And thou shalt scatter in the wind the other third part you shall scatter with the wind, and I will draw a sword after them. So the other third is going to be scattered. It won't be burned. It won't be cut up, but it's going to be chased and threatened with war, with a sword. Let me go. And thou shalt also take thereof a few in number and bind them in thy skirts. So now we have a remnant, not only the third, but a remnant of that third. Then take of them again and cast them into the midst of the fire and burn them in the fire, for thereof shall a fire come forth unto all the house of Israel. Now, he explains this a little bit in verse 12, where he says, a third part of thee shall die with the pestilence, and with the famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee, and a third part shall fall by the sword round about thee, and I will scatter a third part unto all the winds, and will draw out a sword after them. So take that for what you like, but I believe that Ezekiel is not only prophesying the things that are happening to his Jerusalem in his day, but he's speaking into the future as well. Now there's a verse in Romans, a very interesting verse. Let's go over to the New Testament for a minute. It's Romans 11, and everybody knows that when we talk about Romans 11, Paul seems to be talking about Israel. He seems to be talking about natural Israel quite a bit here. But let's look at spiritual Israel, because the Bible is also a spiritual book. Start in verse 3. And this is the prophet Elijah. Okay? He's saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. This is Elijah. He felt sorry for himself. Jezebel was after him. Okay? But what saith the answer of God to him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image. In fact, if you go back, what God actually said is, I have 7,000 who have not bowed the knee and who have not kissed Baal. So there's two things involved. One is bow the knee. You might bow the knee because you're forced to on pain of death. But if you also kiss the thing, it means your love and your devotion is there too. Your soul, you're not being forced to do it. You're doing it because you want to do it. All right? So he says, now look, 7,000. Was that a natural number or was that a spiritual number too? I believe both. 7,000, fullness. Amen? I have a fullness of a remnant that haven't gone that way. Amen? Even so, then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. All right, there's another verse in Revelation that speaks of this depopulation. Maybe that one didn't so much, but it spoke of a remnant. Let's look at Revelation chapter 9. And we're looking at verse 13, I believe we are. Now, this is the sounding of the sixth trumpet, okay? Sixth trumpet. And the sixth trumpet sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. The four horns of the golden altar. What's the significance of the golden altar here? The golden altar here in Revelation is where the martyred saints are bringing forth their prayers for the things that are happening on the earth. They're crying out to God, how much longer, O Lord, till you bring retribution to what's happened to us, all right? So here's the cry from the golden altar, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. They're, in other words, their loosing is going to be not just a gradual thing, even though it seems like there is some kind of a gradual thing going on, but there is coming a day when this whole four angels of the Euphrates are going to be loosed. It's going to happen on a specific hour, on a specific day, on a specific month, in a specific year, so that when you look back historically, you will be able to say, on that day were these four angels of the Euphrates loosed. Now, what is the Euphrates? What's happening? What is that region of the Euphrates? What is the dominant spirit of the Euphrates? The dominant spirit is the spirit of Islam. And that spirit wants badly to be totally loosed. It's had some expression. I mean, it has managed to blow down the big towers in New York City. It's gone after people individually, one after another, little groups here, little groups there. But it really hasn't had a big release until now, all right? So this spirit waiting to be released, amen? The four angels to be loosed. Angels, by the way, are not necessarily God's angels. These could be angels from hell waiting to be loosed, but they're bound there, amen? And a month and a year for to slay the third part of man. So these spirits are going to be responsible for one third of the depopulation of the earth. Okay? And the number, let me see, where did I, 9:13, okay. Now look at verse 18. And by these was the third part. Oh, this is another one now. Let me find it here. Okay, and by these three was the third parts of men killed by the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. Okay, this is another one. The army of the horsemen, 200,000, and I heard the number of them. By the way, how many is 200,000? It's 200 million, isn't it? And somebody told me that the population of China that has this new COVID now is 200 million. Just an interesting number. It doesn't mean that they're the horsemen. But by the way, I've also been told that China is the only country on earth that can raise an army of 200 million men, that they have that many that they could call to service. Okay? And I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire, that would be red, and a jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. I don't know exactly what John was seeing. This is what he was describing. The weapons of war that are used now, the tanks, the missiles, what have you, it sounds a lot like this, smoke and fire and brimstone. And by these was the third part of men killed, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which issued from their mouths. Let me go on to the end of the chapter here. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. I don't know, I can't help but think, you see these pictures of these tanks with these long guns coming out of them, and there's a little head on the end of that gun. I don't know what the purpose of the head is. I think it's to it has something to do with the explosion. It reduces I don't know if it reduces the noise or enhances the impact of the bullet when it's coming out, so it isn't held back by back pressure or something like that. I don't know, I'm just speculating. But they have they look like this. Again, I'm not sure exactly what John was seeing. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor walk. Now listen to this. What are the biggest crimes and the biggest sins today? What is spreading? What is taking over mankind? It says, neither repented they of their murders, their sorceries, their fornication, or their thefts. In other words, there's a time when no matter what happens, men will not call upon the name of the Lord. No matter what happens. So they're murders, okay? Everybody wants to get into the murder game today. Man goes in a college dormitory with a knife. He kills four people. Thinks he can get away with a perfect crime. 6-year-old boy down in Newport News, Virginia. 6-year-old boy brings a gun to class, gets in a little argument with his teacher, pulls out the gun and shoots the teacher. Shoots her. She's in the hospital. She could die. What is happening that 6-year-olds are pulling guns in school to shoot their teachers? Amen? That isn't it. Okay, so murder, sorceries. The word sorceries, the Greek word here is pharmakia. Pharmakia. What does pharmakia mean? It means drugs. It isn't just sorcery, it's drugs. There are drugs so powerful, and they're finding these drugs. They're finding them being shipped across the border, the southern border of the United States, coming in. People want to get involved. People want to get high. People want to float away or whatever they want to do on these drugs. And some of these drugs, just a little spoonful would be enough to kill hundreds of people, thousands perhaps. Fentanyl, very, very powerful, very strong. Mixing that fentanyl with cocaine? Mixing it up a little bit? Isn't that what they're doing? Anybody know what? Yeah, I think that's what they're doing. And okay, so they didn't repent of their murder. They didn't repent of their drug addiction. Their fornication, that's their sexual freedom, their sexual license. And you can see how the people screamed and hollered when the Supreme Court said that you no longer have a constitutional right to abort your babies. See, that's the fall. That's to them, to those who believe in this, this is their safety. They can do whatever they want. If they get caught, they can simply get rid of the product. They don't consider it a human. They call it the product of conception. And then they say, well, we have a right to, what do they call it? They call it health care, reproductive care. Well, there's nothing of care about it. It's reproductive destruction. But the term is used, reproductive care, so they make laws to protect it. Well, you can see the big ruckus that came to America over that one. Fornication, they're not repenting of that, nor their thefts. Why are they stealing? They're stealing mainly to support their drug habits. These are probably people that don't have jobs, and they just want to roam about the streets. They want to murder if they need to get it. They need to steal, whatever. It says, in spite of all this death and destruction, they didn't repent of this. Let me ask you a question. Why? Okay, well, before I do, let me go over here to the first trumpet. Everything is in thirds here. Everything is in thirds. It says the seven angels with the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. First angel sounded, hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. The third part of the trees, all the green grass. Now, I don't believe that is natural. I don't believe that every piece of green grass on the earth is going to be burned. Green grass speaks of Christians that are not strong. Green is life. Trees are strong Christians. Some of the strong Christians aren't going to make it, brethren. Some of them are going to be taken. Second trumpet. It sounds, and it says, and a third part of the creatures which are in the sea. And the third part of the ships, the sea, speaks of the unredeemed humanity, the world, the people of the world. Third trumpet, third part of the rivers and the fountains of waters. Amen. And a star called wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died. Wormwood. Do you know if you say that wormwood in Ukraine, do you know what word it is? The word is Chernobyl. I went to Ukraine the first time. It was right after Chernobyl melted down. And there were a lot of people that we had to pray for that had what they called, what was the fever? Something like atomic fever. In other words, they had an overexposure to the nuclear, I can't think of the word right now. What is it, Rita? No, it wasn't fallout. It was exposure. It was like being exposed to X-rays, that type of thing. Anyway,
I think it's radiation.
What was it?
radiation.
Yeah, radiation. Yeah, radiation. Yeah. Radiation fever. Yeah, that's what they called it. Many of them got over it, but Sergey took me to the hospitals, and we prayed for a lot of people that were there in the hospital because they'd had too much radiation. All right, so that's the word Chernobyl. You can speculate what you want, what that star wormwood means. But it will pollute water. It will pollute a lot of water. It says a third. Here we go, a third again. Fourth trumpet. Third part of the moon, third part of the stars. Okay, moon is the church. Stars are the mighty ones of God. Third part of them are going to fall as well. Amen? So we see a lot of thirds here, a lot of thirds coming forth. And this is where the angel, by the way, let me comment about these sounding of these trumpets. This is not just a time when one trumpet makes a blast, rah, 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 you know, and that's it. You never hear from that trumpet again. No, this is an ongoing thing. When the first trumpet sounds, that trumpet is still sounding when the second trumpet comes along. Those trumpets are still sounding when the third trumpet comes along. And they are all sounding when the final seventh trumpet is made. In the Bible, it says, and during the sounding of the such and such trumpet, thus and thus is going to happen. So in other words, it's an ongoing sound. It's an ongoing thing that's coming forth. A trumpet is an announcement. It's an announcement of what's going to happen. The pouring out of the vial is when it actually happens. So I asked myself, we're talking about a depopulation issue. I'm asking myself, Lord, why? Why is this necessary? Why is it necessary to remove all the wicked from the earth? Why can they not be converted and brought to where they will acknowledge the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll tell you why. Let me show you why. Have any of you ever seen this magazine? Can you read it? Oh, I'm sorry. Are you getting a mirror image of it? It's the Voice of the Martyrs. Have any of you ever seen that magazine? You're nodding your head, Madeline. You've seen it. Do you get it? I don't know how I happened to get it. I get it. And by the way, it's a magazine. It's an organization that was founded by Brother Wormbrand. You've heard of Brother Wormbrand, haven't you? The martyr who was tortured and tormented. So here's Brother Wormbrand. No, wait a minute. There he is, right there. He's dead and gone, but he was tortured grievously in Romania. It was during the communist days of Romania. The man was practically beaten to death. They beat his feet so badly that he couldn't even walk on them. Trying to turn him, he was a minister of the gospel, trying to turn him away from Christ and make him turn into communism and embrace the idol of communism, the god of communism, should we say. Well, I'm reading this magazine, and this issue, this particular issue, is about Africa. It's about the tribulation of different countries. They're naming three countries in Africa: Niger, Benin, Democratic Republic of Congo, and Mozambique. Now, I'm going to focus on this one little woman here. You see her picture? She's a Congo woman. And these gangs what's the matter with me? Muslims, gangs of Muslims. They have their name here, but anyway, in the Congo, these gangs of Muslims apparently roam around freely. And by the way, this happens in northern Nigeria too, doesn't it, brethren? There's groups like this in northern Nigeria, where they take the liberty, they go into a village, they round up the Christians. And what happened to this woman in Congo is they came, this gang of Muslims came into their village where she lives, town of Oicha, and they were called the ADF. I'm not sure what that stands for, the ADF, a Muslim group. They attacked the Christians, and her story was, they came after these people, and these women were coming back from carrying water, and they saw this gang coming. They dropped their water cans and they ran. But this woman was not able to run. She fell. As she was running, she fell. And so they took her captive. And finally they took her back to her village, and in her house there were, how many? There were 12 of the Christians in her house were believers. So it said here, they let her go home where she, no, eight relatives, including her infant daughter. When the rebels ordered everyone out of the house, Grace, who was weak from the beating, struggled to carry her baby. Once outside, the Islamists tied up seven of Grace's relatives and beheaded them with machetes. My goodness. That's tribulation, brethren. And the man said, one of the men said, he said, "We know we are killing Christians," the Islamist said. "We won't stop until everyone is a Muslim or dead." I say, all right, God, why do you have to depopulate the earth like that? Because of that. God cannot allow that to go on. Why did God come to the place in the days of Noah where he said, "I'm going to have to eliminate a lot of people. And I found only one family, only one man who is righteous before me." You see, this is what's happened. The hearts of men are so hard. God will save everyone that can be saved. But there are many, many that cannot and will not be saved. God is going to cleanse the earth of this kind of thing. All those who say, "You're either going to become what I want you to become, or you're going to be killed." Now I'm thinking about that beast. There's two beasts, you know, that rise up. One rises up out of the earth, which is the government beasts. But there's another one that rises up out of the, I meant the sea. The one rises out of the sea. Another beast rises out of the earth, and it has two horns, like a lamb, but it's really another dragon. I wonder what those two horns are. If Islam is such a strong beast, it must be one of the horns. The other horn must be the Roman Catholic Babylonian spirit. Now, by the way, Catholicism, where we read about these people beheading the other eight members of this woman's house, just right there in front of her. Oh, and then they put the heads in a pot and boiled them in water. My goodness. But you know what? The Roman Catholic Church was doing this for centuries. until they politically couldn't get away with it anymore. And if they can get away with it, they'll do it again. It doesn't matter how sweet this little Pope sounds and how much he says peace and safety. Oh, there's where the word comes. There's where that, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. What did you say? 25% of the world today is Muslim. Yes. That's a big population. That's almost a third, isn't it? God is not going to allow that spirit to take over and rule the earth. He will not. He is going to be in control. Let me read a couple other verses here. I read the ones in let me go to the book of Joel, okay, for a minute. Do we have time? Oh, we're getting close to the end, aren't we? Let me go to the book of Joel, chapter 2. You've heard these verses from Joel, haven't you? Because I'm saying that war is going to come. Whether this thing in Ukraine, at the border of Ukraine, waiting to break out again, whether this thing is going to be the cause of a third world war, I don't know. But there is a final war, and it's going to be a natural war, and it's going to affect everyone on the earth. I want to read Joel 2, 28 to 32. Now there's a lot of positive in the book of Joel. You know, there's three things. There's tribulation, there's repentance, and there's restoration. That's all in Joel. But I'm just gonna pick out some of this here. It says the last event before the terrible day of the Lord. Okay, that's the heading that they wrote into the Bible here. All right, and it shall come to pass afterward, in our day, later, in our time, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All right, that's us. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I look forward to that. I look forward to seeing the young people of the next generation prophesying. I look forward to seeing your children prophesying. Men like Cody, amen. Your children, Howard, amen. I don't know all your children here, but yes, your children, Larry and Mike, amen. Your grandchildren now, some of them, amen. Your sons and your daughters prophesy. Old men shall dream dreams. Okay, I should be getting ready to start dreaming dreams now soon. Amen, some good dreams, amen. Old men shall dream dreams. Young men shall see visions, okay? You young fellas out there that are in your 40s and 50s, you're young men. You should start having visions, amen? God should begin to show you things, amen? And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Oh, it isn't just happy days, is it? There's some other things coming with it. The sun shall be turned to darkness. That's the word of the Lord. People aren't going to be able to see or hear the word of the Lord anymore because there'll be so much darkness. Amen. The moon turned to blood. Now there's the church turned to blood. The church in tribulation. Amen. Before the great and terrible day of the Lord has come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. There's that remnant again. There's always going to be a remnant in all this dealing of the Lord. There are those. How many of you want to be in that remnant? Amen? Amen. I want to be that remnant. Even though we may be scattered, we seem to be a little bit scattered right now, aren't we? If we weren't scattered, we wouldn't have to be meeting on the Zoom meeting, would we? Amen? No. We are scattered about many, many places, but we're going to be a remnant of the Lord, and we're going to manifest the Spirit of the Lord. The power of prophecy, the power of the word of the Lord is going to come upon his people, and we're going to be saying things. We're going to be prophesying, and the world is going to know. We're going to be prophesying the things that are going to pass. They're not going to like it. They're not going to repent. It says they will not repent. But there will be judgment, and the world will be cleaned of the wicked and the unrighteous. And it could very well be two-thirds of the earth that will have to be removed. And I'll use the term depopulated. Okay, I'm going to quit. I'm going to leave the recording on because I'm sure God is showing you things that you want to add to what's been said today.
Amen. What really came to my mind when you are speaking about when he was losing these four angels, that in the rest of the chapter he said they repented not, and God was really out after that people would repent. So what we really see in these things is that God is going to make a division between those who repent and those who do not repent. It is really the key for the people to repent. And it is really what he says also in I think it's in Exodus, yeah, chapter 8 and verse 23, when he says in the time of the plague, there have been three plagues that have been going, and the fourth plague was coming. And God says, I will put a division between my people and thy people. So he was going to make a division between the people that was in Egypt or the people that was in Goshen. And it means that he was going to protect the other one, and he was not going to protect the others. And we can see this also in Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 11. He says, but it came to pass when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came into the land, that we said, come and let us go to Jerusalem. So when it was the people that we called Rechabites, and it was a poor people. They were not having really anything. They were living in tent. Maybe the poorest of them all. But when they saw the enemy come into the land, they know about a place of safety. They knew that there was a place that they could have a safety. It was Jerusalem. And they went in because they saw the enemy come into the land. And that is what really is on my mind, that it is so necessary for us to go to be in Jerusalem, to be in the city of God. And everyone that repent have opportunity to live and dwell there. But there was another thing that really came to my mind, that even though all these people was taking captivity and brought into Babylon, in the kingdom of the enemy, it was not all of the people that was taken captivity. There were also people that had a very special mercy and grace and blessing and protection over them, and they were not taken captivity. It was a very special people. It was a poor people. And I believe it was a Rechabites, because he says that in Jeremiah 39, verse 10, he says, but Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, left of the poor of the people, which had nothing in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyard and field, a field, and at the same time. So there was a people that was poor that got the liberty. They were not taken captivity. And I believe in my heart we are these people today.
Yes. Amen. Amen. The remnant.
Yes. They were giving vineyard. They were giving field to for their own. They even received houses and everything that they were needed. But they were not taking captivity. And we are not going to be take captivity.
Amen.
We are going to be overcomer.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Brother Daniel.
One little thing that I would add about the Rechabites was part of what gave them this favor. Jeremiah came to them with a jug of wine and set it down and said, drink ye wine. And they look at each other and said, we ain't going to do it. We're not supposed to do that. And so can you imagine a mighty prophet of God coming to you, telling you to do something, and you feel so strongly in your faith that even though he's the one saying it, they would not do it. And I feel like that's the position we have to be as all this end time stuff starts coming down. We're going to have to stand strong and not give in to this stuff, and then we're going to get favor just like the Rechabites got favor. And another thing that came to me a little bit was when you talked about peace. When they say peace, then comes sudden destruction. I remember years ago listening to this guy he was a Jew, and he lived over there in Israel, so he knew what was going on over there real well. And over there, he said, every single day in the newspaper, there's something about peace, okay? And the word shalom is peace. That's why the Jews go around saying shalom. So peace is a huge thing to them because they're in the midst of this turmoil over there. And they're this little bitty nation surrounded by all these other nations that are, you know, want to take them out and blah, blah, blah. And so peace is this big thing over there. So they're continually talking about peace, and they're waiting for it, just like the people in Jesus's time when they were waiting for their king. They really thought it was going to be a king that would restore them to the power and glory that they once had years ago, you know, which wasn't the case. And so they're all waiting for this peace over there. And so something is going to happen where finally they think we're going to have peace now. And so that's probably right when it's going to happen. You know, when they say peace, then come a sudden destruction. And then just a couple other little things I wanted to share. It's on a different subject, but it's fitting for the end time stuff. I just watched a thing last week on the computer. This doctor was talking all about the evils of sugar. And one of the favorite books I ever read is a book called Sugar Blues by William Duffy. If you've never read it, you need to read it. Anyway, what struck me was I'm sitting there listening to this doctor, and he's telling all this bad stuff about sugar. And I know that everything he's saying is the absolute truth, and yet I don't do it. And I feel like that's the position a lot of us are in spiritually. We sit there and we listen to all these good words, and we know that they're all true, but we just don't do them. And so I wanted to tell you what happened to me one time. I'm sure some of you have probably heard of the product Herbalife. It was a big health thing back in the 80s. And I did Herbalife one time for 2 months. For 2 months, I just completely did what you were supposed to do. Number one, I lost 18 pounds, and it literally changed me from the inside. Like, my whole life I've been somebody that loved French fries and donuts and ice cream and all that kind of stuff, and it so thoroughly changed me inside that I couldn't stand the thought of even eating any of that stuff. And the point I want to make by that is there's no way I could have known that feeling without doing the thing that it took to get there. You know, I mean, literally, it was something that I'd never felt inside me before. I just had a desire for good food, you know. It's like Popeye and the spinach. And so we have to do what it takes to experience the reality of some things, you know. When I think of David, you know, Mark talked the other day about how he fears losing God's favor more than he fears his punishment, which is sort of like when you're a little kid, sometimes when you get a spanking, it feels good because you know you did wrong and now you took the punishment and now it's over. Well, David, have you ever heard David's life can be charted like a rooftop? That means here's a rooftop. And David's life looks like the rooftop right there at the top of the point. You know what happened there? Bathsheba. And I don't know if you've ever heard, there's a famous song called Hallelujah. And some of the words say, your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty in the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to a kitchen chair. She broke your crown. She cut your hair. And through your lips, she drew the hallelujah. And so David's life went downhill spiritually ever since that event. And in earlier in David's life, he would be asking the Lord things, and God would talk to him. And, you know, tell him, David would say, should I go after him? And God would say, go up to a certain place and wait till you see the rustling in the treetops and then get him. Well, after that, after the peak of his life, he was asking other prophets what God was saying. And I just want to point out how absolutely valuable the favor of God is. I want to tell you one more little quick story. In my hometown, I was a building contractor most of my working life. And the richest man in my hometown, he was probably a billionaire, he calls me up one morning and he said, Mike, can you be over at my house in 30 minutes? And I said, okay. So I go over there, and in his kitchen, he has a booth just like at a restaurant, you know, a horseshoe booth all upholstered and everything. He's sitting there eating breakfast, and he hands me this roll of plans about this big around. And he said, here, he said, I want you to build this house for me, and the job's yours. So I go home and unroll these plans, and I start looking at them, and oh, my goodness. This thing is like a multi-million dollar home on the side of a mountain up in the Sierra Nevada foothills. And so I'm looking at this thing, and I'm 32 years old, and I put my head back and I just said, oh God, what am I going to do? That thing was so far above my head, and I wasn't even really asking God. I was just kind of thinking to myself, I said, what am I going to do? And I mean, a booming voice says to me, John Michaels. John Michaels was the guy that I used to work with years before, and the guy was just absolutely brilliant. And so I started looking for him. I found him, and he was in an alcoholic rehab place. And I called him, and I said, John, I said, I've got an unbelievable job, and I need you. He said, well, I'll be out of here in 3 weeks. He gets out, and him and I went up there with about a crew of 10 guys, and took us about 2 years to build this house. But my point is, God says that his beloved, he's looking after them even while they're sleeping. So I didn't even ask him. I was just thinking, what am I going to do? And he says to me, John Michaels. He just tells me the answer, you know. And so having God's favor is priceless, you know. And that's my point about how I got changed from the inside from doing this Herbalife. When we really do what it takes, how many times in God's word did he say, if you'll do this, I'll do this. Or if you'll do this, here's what will happen. So we've got to actually do it to experience the thing, you know. So anyway, with what's coming down on us here soon, I just want to encourage all of us to, you know, God didn't give us all this power so we can sit in a pew and clap. We need to get in there and get with God and have a personal relationship with him to have his favor so that we hear his voice when we need to hear him. So, amen.
Now you're on. I wanted to go back to something that what Daniel was saying. And I just want to read a couple of verses, oddly enough, from the book of Daniel, chapter 12, because this is relevant to what your word was today, Mark. Because it says, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the people, children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And that's what we're talking about, a time of trouble that the world has never seen. And but look at what it says. At that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who shall be found written in the book. So there again, like Daniel was saying, you know, even during these times, God has a plan to take care and deliver his people. Those who are to be delivered, those, there's others that are willingly will lay down their life for the cause of God. And many of them who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they will turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That is our calling. We that will be left at this time of great trouble that the world has never seen are to turn many to righteousness. And then drop down to verse 10. I'll finish with that. That in that time, many shall be purified and made white and tried. Think of those things that God is saying at this time. But the wicked will do wickedly. Again, this separation. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And
amen.
What is coming. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We can see one thing, like you were sharing, Larry, and you Mike, that there is a promise to the remnant. That is same promise that was to the Rechabites, because he says they shall not want a man to stand before me forever. not for only a couple of times, but forever. They will never lose that opportunity. They will have a man that will stand before me forever. And doesn't matter how strong the enemy is rising up on the earth, no one can take down a man or a remnant that God has said they will stand. If God said they will stand before me, there is no one that can take them down.
Amen.
And we are that remnant. We are that promise that God is speaking. And there is nothing that can take us down. We are called to be in this hour for these things, to stand before him. Amen.
Amen. So we have a depopulation and we have a remnant. Okay, well, we're going to end the recording here then. And I'll turn that off. I would turn this one off here.